Let's open up with Proverbs 27. And what I neglected to tell you this morning is that you heard a message preached this morning on the God satisfaction. And I forgot to tell you this morning that you were going to get something tonight on our satisfaction. So, satisfied all day. Anyway, Proverbs 27. And you can also find a couple books over Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. All right, Proverbs, first of all, 27:20. You'll notice there that hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. In Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, it says, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. And then in Ecclesiastes 5, real quick, down in verse 10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Boy, is that true or what? Now he that loveth abundance with increase, this also is vanity. Nor he that loveth abundance with increase, this is also vanity. Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Lord, we turn to you tonight and ask that you might give a bit of an addendum to what we said this morning. We are happy, Lord, for your satisfaction in the sacrifice of your Son's soul for our sins. We appreciate it, Lord, and we are grateful, look forward to all things being reconciled one day soon. In the meantime, Lord, we have some things to learn about our own satisfaction with things down here, and it doesn't look, most likely, like the world says it should. And so I pray you'd help us here tonight. We just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, now, again, established this morning was that from, when we'll look at the passage in just a minute, for just a brief moment, but that God was, for the first time ever, satisfied when Jesus Christ made his soul an offering for sin in Isaiah 53. And so, through all that time of the Old Testament, God was not satisfied until Christ died and made sacrifice for sin a finality. And so, that was no small thing. On the other hand, we need to turn this around now and talk for a little while tonight about man's satisfaction. First of all, mentioned this morning in passing, it's true that men oftentimes are satisfied or they settle for far too little. Good enough for me, good enough for government work, right? That kind of saying, you know, the kid who's happy to bottle along and make D's in school, and mom's not happy and nobody else is happy, but it's good enough for the kids. He's satisfied with D's, that sort of thing. But the greater truth is that sinful man isn't satisfied with nothing. And we saw these passages, and you look at these, the eyes of the guy and so on in Proverbs 27. We'll read those verses in a minute, but I'll just go to the Bible and think about the fact that no matter what Israel saw, no matter what miracle Israel experienced, they still chode and murmured with God at every step. It didn't matter. They'd just gotten out of walking across the Red Sea on dry land, and that was good until they got thirsty. The manna was a real novelty for a couple of days, and then it got real old fast. And sadly, ladies and gentlemen, that's pretty much the way we are. You see, rich people, is $100 million enough? Nah. Is $500 million enough? Nah. Ask a billionaire if he's got enough money, and he'll probably say, not yet, right? It's the way we are. It's no matter how much you get, it's not enough. I was listening to a radio for a minute yesterday or so, and you may not recognize the name, but Michael Irvin was a famous receiver for the Cowboys way back in the day. He's now a commentator, and somebody was, of course, it's playoff football these days, and somebody was talking to Irvin about, you know, getting to the Super Bowl and all that stuff, and he just said, oh, man, he said, a football player more than anything else, he wants to get to the Super Bowl. He said, I have 3 Super Bowl rings, and it's not enough. I can't imagine not having one. Well, there's an awful lot of football players that never got a Super Bowl ring, right? So that's the point, is that it's never enough. When does a dope head get enough dope? When does a gambler have gambled enough? Well, they'll never say ever, because they have, and it's that way. TikTok and the gaming apps, they're engineered to keep you clicking. They're essentially addictive. They're designed to be addictive. It's the way things are. You all know that sin itself is addictive. I read you a couple of verses earlier, but it says that a backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. When do you get enough of serving you? Hardly ever. Hardly ever, ever. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. All things are full of labor, man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. I run you over to Ezekiel 16. You don't have to turn there, but the Lord there is talking about Israel basically having played the whore, and excuse my English, but thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians, because thou wast insatiable. She couldn't be satisfied. Thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldst not be satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, and yet thou wast not satisfied herewith. The sin kept getting deeper and deeper. They shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed up to the Lord, but they've never had enough. They never get enough. You have sown much, bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink, because it's never enough. And so, coming at it from that perspective, you know, a Christian has to watch that in himself, because you still have an old nature. And if you're not careful, you know, you want what you're most likely not to get. Have you not noticed that just like Israel, blessings tarnish quickly? Isn't that true? Again, they started receiving manna from heaven. It condensed on the ground in the night like dew. And the novelty of it wore off before the week was out. And walking across the Red Sea, they were murmuring and griping and complaining already because they were thirsty. And so it just goes on. Oh, they saw the fire on Mount Sinai. Oh, don't speak to us. Have Moses speak to us first. If God speaks to us again, he'll kill us. And yet, at the base of the mount, they said, make us gods to lead us back to Egypt. They're not satisfied. Maybe for New Testament Christians, it's tougher because we walk by faith and not by sight. Maybe that's part of the equation. But it's still something we got to guard. And so you need to be reminded, and I need to be reminded, that the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is not an exciting, adventurous, prosperous journey. And it's not all that popular. And you don't come out in the end looking like a Marvel Comics character. It's just not that way. The world would picture it that way. The idealistic, romanticized Christians would present it that way. They would present to you that the Christian life is actually exciting and fun, and sometimes it's not. It's just that way. And so I want to preach to you tonight on the subject of being satisfied, but it's a satisfaction not as the world pictures it. It's also a satisfaction not even as a Christian often envisions it. So let me just give you some things out of the Word of God to see how this goes. But suffice to say, you got to be careful, because you can be disappointed about the Christian life, because it may not be what you imagined it to be, or what the dork who wrote a book that's at the bookstore, the Christian bookstore, said it would be like. It's just not always that way. You can't forget, as I preached not too long ago, that the Christian life actually is a sacrifice. So let me take a look at some things real quick. Now, let me just touch base with what we said this morning. For instance, Isaiah 53, and preached this morning on the Lord being satisfied. This is the passage, Isaiah 53, verse 10, talking about Jesus Christ on the cross, His sacrifice for us. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul, Christ's soul, an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. And this is what I'm after. He shall see of the travail of His soul, Christ's soul. God shall see of the travail of Christ's soul and shall be satisfied. Christ, God is singularly satisfied, and never said to be satisfied with anything else, is singularly satisfied with Jesus Christ's sacrifice. And so, let me just begin by saying, a Christian needs to be satisfied with that in which God is satisfied. I need to be satisfied in that which God is satisfied. I got saved because God was angry with the wicked every day. And I was wicked. I got saved because I was going to go to hell unless I got born again. And so, like I said, I got saved, and I am awfully glad that the Lord's standards were satisfied by the crucifixion and death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm very glad for that. And after being saved, I find myself, as the years progressed, I've been reading the Bible now for 40-something years. And as I read the Bible, I find more in myself that's wrong than I knew about when I got saved. In a way, it's like I'm getting worse and worse. Now, in ways, I'm getting better and better. I'm just finding more and more stuff that needs to be corrected. Right? And so when I look at it that way, you know, I find more wretchedness than when I started. And when I look in the mirror of God's Word at myself, I don't see a Marvel superhero. I see a warthog. It just gets worse and worse, you know. And so here's what I say to that. I say that there's times that I simply have to be satisfied that He's satisfied. Because I ain't satisfied. I'm not happy with what I am. I'm not happy with what I did. I sure am glad that He in Christ is satisfied by my faith in Christ. Because if that weren't true, I don't know what I'm going to do. So to start with, let me just say you should be satisfied with that which God is satisfied. And from there, we can go on to something pretty spiritual. Actually, look in Psalms chapter 17. I just want to bring up a few things for you here. Title of the message is Satisfied. And you should first of all know that you should be satisfied with that which God is satisfied. And that God was satisfied with Christ the day you received Him as your Savior. He's still satisfied with that sacrifice today. I'm glad. Psalm 17, though, let's go back there. In Psalms chapter 17, if I can find it, it says down in verse, let me get a context here. Verse 8, keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. David's in trouble, surrounded by enemies, right? Verse 10, they are enclosed in their own fat. It's a real Marvel Comics type picture. They're enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him. Cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world which have their portion in this life and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I mean, surrounded, encompassed with wickedness and by the wicked, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Now, with that said, I know, you know, that the Lord Jesus Christ came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And I'm not disappointed in the life that I have in Jesus Christ. My life here in this life is better for having Jesus Christ in it than if I had not Him in it. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but because my life is more abundantly satisfying because I have Jesus Christ in my life and in my heart. But, you know, there are a lot of folks that want it all here and now, and the fact is you're not going to get it all here and now, no matter how many prosperity gospelers come along and tell you how rich you can be and how healthy you can be and how much Jesus wants to give you all the stuff you can manage. It's just not true. And I want to say that the psalmist paints this pretty woeful picture in chapter 17 of being surrounded about by enemies, by wolves, by lions, stalking and lurking and so on. And I just want to say that when he says this in verse 15, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." What he's saying, if you could allow me to say it this way, he said, I'm satisfied at least that one day I'll be satisfied. He's saying right now, things are looking pretty bleak. I got lions round about and wolves round about. The wicked compass me about. Things aren't looking real good, but here's what I do know. I'm not real happy about how things are now, but I am satisfied with this, that one day I will be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. What does that mean? You should be satisfied with your future prospects. Because the truth of the matter is that what you have here now sometimes, some of it can be pretty good, but you also know that you can shoot holes in it pretty quick. And everything here is not always hunky-dory, and really it was never supposed to be, but this is the Christian's hope, because that's his expectation. Is that no matter how bad it gets here, you know, if you're a person of faith, believing the Bible, that one day after you die, you will awake and be satisfied with his likeness, because you're going to be like him. So I can say that you should be satisfied with your future prospects. You know, things aren't very good here in some ways. You know, we, at least in our country, look at things that are deteriorating. It's never good. It's never a good feeling to watch things crumbling. And as they continue to crumble, and they are, the fact is they may not get any better. There's an awful lot of things in life that, as it turns out, you know, they do get better. And what you thought was going to crash and burn might still be erect here in the next, you know, weeks and months, and you'll get to enjoy it some more. But the fact of the matter is that eventually what all works out is that eventually you're going to have to settle on being satisfied with being satisfied that you will awake with his likeness. Your prospects are wonderful. Things may not work out too well for us down here, depending on how this all flies from here, prophetically, right? But you can know that your prospects, you should be satisfied with your prospects, because you're going to awake with his likeness. All right, there's this too. Look in Psalms 22. Psalms 22. And this is the messianic psalm of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? A lot of this is, of course, about Jesus Christ. When you get down, though, to verse 25, you read this. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. Then notice verse 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. But the meek shall eat and be satisfied. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. Now again, the prosperity gospelers would tell you that if you're meek and lowly and poor and faithful, that one day the Lord's going to just dump a bucket full of stuff on you. I mean, the meek shall eat. Where's it? The meek shall eat and be satisfied. I mean, you're going to be eating prime rib and shrimp and everything that you can imagine you're going to eat, because as long as you're meek, the Lord's going to dump all these buckets of stuff out on you. Now, there may be an element of truth to that eventually. I'm going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I don't think that's the primary meaning at all. It says, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. Is that saying that because you're meek and lowly and poor and humble and faithful, that again the Lord's going to come dump buckets of food on your banqueting tables? You're going to have enough food to fill a gymnasium full of banqueting tables with everything just piled high, and you're just going to eat until your heart's going to, you're going to be satisfied. Is that what it means? Or is it something more like, let me just say this. It doesn't say your meekness gets you gobs and gobs to eat. It doesn't say that the meek and the humble, again, get banqueting tables just piled high. It says that they'll eat and be satisfied. That is, the meek are satisfied by what the proud could never be satisfied. That is, satisfaction lies in a heart condition. And if you're truly meek, you'll be satisfied by that which the proud would never be satisfied. And which, as long as you're reaching for more and proudly going about things, you'll never be satisfied. You know, I don't know about you, some pastors can't live with themselves unless they have a vision for pastoring 1,000 people. Sounds like trouble to me. I mean, you know, shouldn't I be able to be satisfied with a small group who want to do something and get fed, and I meekly acquiesce that I'm not fit or capable to pastor 1,000? Who's better off, me or the guy that's eating his guts out because he doesn't pastor 1,000? See what I'm saying? I'm saying that satisfaction lies in a heart condition. A heart condition of meekness and humility, where you don't need tables piled high to be satisfied. You don't need a pile of money to be satisfied. You don't need 100,000 Facebook friends to be satisfied. Right? Okay, y'all don't sound too convinced. But this is a different take on things. Let me show you something else along those lines. Proverbs 20. We're to be satisfied with that which God is satisfied. With our future prospects. Your future prospects are not ever going to fail you. Those promises are true no matter what happens. So you should be satisfied that God's going to do you right on the other side. You should be satisfied when partaking in humility. It is satisfying to be partaking in humility. Where pride enters, you're not going to be happy with anything you get. When you're humble and you humbly receive what God, the blessings God gives you, then you're satisfied because God gave them to me. And I don't think I deserve more. I'm just glad to have gotten something from Him. Okay, there's this. Proverbs chapter 20. And read down in verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Then it says this. It says, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Now just hold that in thought for a second. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Okay, here's a guy, and he wakes up, love not sleep lest thou come to poverty, gets up and goes and plows his field. Okay? And he says, the guy gets up and goes and tills that field. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. Okay? You may focus on satisfied, but think about satisfied with bread. Bread is a very plain thing. I don't know about you, but if I had to eat bread only for 2 weeks, I might want something else. But it says, he that tilleth his land, for one, the guy that's tilling the land, he's working hard, so he's hungry. And so he's going to be more satisfied with bread than somebody who's not doing nothing. But I just like to say that, you know, you ought to consider that you should be satisfied, if what the Bible says is true, with plain things. Bread's pretty plain. You know? Let me show you another verse. Look in Psalms 37. Psalms 37. Talking about being satisfied with plain things. Doesn't have to be exotic. Doesn't have to be super expensive. Just something as plain as everyday bread. Psalms 37. Start reading here with me in verse 16. And notice, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. So maybe you're better off with little. See that? Verse 17, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. I mean, you may not get a lot, but at least you won't have broken arms. Verse 18, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs, and they shall consume unto smoke all they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, and so on. But I wanted you to see there in verse 19, where it says, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Well, there's a famine in the land. And I bet that while everybody else is in famine, I don't think the promise is for God to deliver to these folks probably lobster. But they'll still be satisfied. I bet what they get is something like bread, something, you know, some very plain thing that still satisfies them. I'm saying nothing fancy, nothing extravagant about bread, but a man that'll wake up and go to work, a man that even in famine is a righteous man, God will satisfy him with something plain. You should be willing to be satisfied with something plain, like a used snowblower. Free. It doesn't have to be a brand new snowblower, you know, but with plain things. Sometimes you get a sense that, sometimes nothing, you get a sense that American Christianity is so stinking spoiled. You know, everything has to be caviar and, you know, first rate, you know, stuff. And that's not God's promise. God's promise was never, you know, the American dream, that you would be able to make your fortune and retire at 54 and, you know, have $1 billion to spend going all over the world. That's not what God promised. God promised that he would provide for you. In fact, having food and raiment, let us be therewith. It doesn't say satisfied, but it does say content. We, you know, don't settle for what the Lord would have for us sometimes. So I'm saying, maybe what you ought to consider being satisfied in and ought to maybe think about a little more is satisfied with plain things. a man that gets up and plows his ground, he'll be satisfied with bread. God promises him bread at least, and he doesn't need caviar. Be satisfied with bread. There's something else that I should have you see. Look in Psalm 65. Psalm 65. What have we said so far? You should be satisfied with that which God is satisfied, Jesus Christ. You should be satisfied with your future prospects. No matter how things look right now, the promises for eternity are still true for you. You should be satisfied when partaking. You will be satisfied when partaking in humility. That is, it's not so much what you get, it's more of a heart attitude about what you're glad for receiving. Humility. Be satisfied with plain things. And Psalm 65, let me read you a few verses here. Notice how this goes. Verse 1, 63:1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Notice my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. How about being satisfied when spiritually hungry? How about saying you will be satisfied when you are spiritually hungry, and you probably won't be satisfied if you're not spiritually hungry? But it says there, early while I seek thee in verse 1, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee. Look in Psalm 107. Psalm 107. You know, some people go to church and they're not thirsty at all. They're not hungry at all. They have no appetite for it. They go for the social agenda. There's a big church not far from here, and what they do, they come together for music. They come together for the band. That ain't why you go to church. If you're not going to church to seek God out of the Word of God, you are wasting your time. You should just stay home. How's that for an invitation? But you should come because you're hungry. If you do come spiritually hungry, you're going to get something. Psalm 107. And notice down in verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. He fills it. If you'll come hungry and thirsty, He'll give you something. If you don't come that way, you might get a big zero. But the hungrier you can keep yourself, it's hard to stay hungry spiritually in America. There are so many other things that beckon for your attention. I mean, and they're all glitzy, too. You know, pop-up menus and everything, and you can just click forever. And your senses are just, it's like a pinball machine. Ding, toing, toing, pop, pow, pow, pow. Does anybody here even know what a pinball machine is? Okay. The old guys do. Got it. But it's true. And, boy, it's a different thing to go, you know, into a quiet room and get before God and or come to church where you're going to sing some hymns and get skewered, probably. But you're glad for it because you're hungry. It's just different. It's hard to maintain a hunger in this world. But you will be satisfied. God promised it when you're spiritually hungry. Okay, there's this. And this is kind of a broad thing. So we're going to run some references, and I want to just give you a general gist because there's probably a lot more study that could be done. Deuteronomy 33. Now, this is a prophecy of the 12 tribes out of the end of Deuteronomy for the future. And among other things said of one of these tribes, verse 23, and of Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. But he says you're satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord. Satisfied with favor. That's something that's kind of immeasurable, you know? Favor. Can I show you a couple of things favors like real quick? Look in Proverbs. Told you you'd be turning. 19. Proverbs 19. You can go down to verse 12. He said, now, Naphtali is satisfied with favor. So, I should be able to be satisfied with that if I just knew what favor was. Well, it's something that's hard to measure. It's something that's hard to quantify. But there's this. We get some ideas. Proverbs 19, verse 12. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion. Boy, you make a king mad, especially God. And when he roars, it's like, oh boy, right? But his favor is as dew upon the grass. Not much water there, but the flesh, all flesh is grass. But the favor sure feels good. A little bit of favor sure feels good, even to the flesh, right? Okay, well, what I should seek, I think, and it's hard to quantify it because you can't quantify favor. You can't measure favor. But sounds to me like that's a real treasure, right? King's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. Sounds refreshing. You know, sounds like it's something that you wouldn't hear coming. When it rains outside, if you listen, you can hear it. You can't hear dew. Dew condenses when the conditions are just right. And the, you know, the humidity and the temperatures are just right, and it, you know, it condenses on cooler objects. It's hard to quantify. It's hard to tell how much you're going to get. But if it's the Lord's favor, seems to me I could use all that I could get. Well, there's a way, you know, Naphtali is satisfied with favor. Now, just keep rolling here for a minute and see if we can connect some dots together with this. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, just a run of a few scriptures here real quick. I won't stay long on one. But it says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3, notice, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor. Okay, so it's mercy and truth. God's mercy and God's truth. Okay, I can kind of quantify the truth because sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, right? Jesus Christ is truth. Mercy, I'm just aware I need a lot and I can use all I can get. But it's not like something you can measure, you know. I don't know how my mercy compares exactly with yours in quantity. But it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Seems to me like you should be seeking mercy and truth in order to get favor. Verse 4, so shall thou find favor. That's what I'm after. So shall thou find favor. You'll find favor when you get mercy and truth. Okay. So you should be satisfied by the favor you get in your pursuit of mercy and truth, which gets you favor with God. It's kind of practical. It's just, you say, well, can I do that in an hour? Or can I just take 30 minutes to do it a day? I don't know. I don't know how much you're going to have to labor to get it. I don't know how much you'll need to pray for. I don't know how to quantify how much you need to love the truth for the Lord to show you truth and favor. It's immeasurable. It's not quantifiable. That's why when somebody says, well, you ought to pray at least an hour a day. Well, how do you know that's enough? How do you know that everybody needs that much? You don't. Every man has to gauge it for himself, right? Well, if you don't read 5 pages of your Bible a day, you're just not doing God justice. Who set that standard? You did. Maybe 5 pages. Maybe some days I can read 30 pages. Some days, you know, the other day I started in on Proverbs. I forget which day it was, but I started in on my proverb reading for the day. I didn't get past 5 verses before I got swamped with everything in the world in my head. You know, the Lord was showing me so much stuff in just 4 or 5 verses that I never got out of the 5 verses. I didn't even read 1 chapter. But boy, was I happy. I like that when that happens. You know what I'm saying? I was satisfied because I found favor. The Lord communicated with me. You know what I'm saying? But verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You'll find favor if you seek for mercy and truth. There's more going here. Look in Proverbs chapter 8. I'm just trying to hit high points because you can chase all these through Proverbs and Psalms for sure. Get a concordance out and chase this, you know, for weeks. But Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35, for whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Boy, I wonder what that is. Well, that's wisdom. That's what the passage is talking about. It's talking about wisdom. And he in verse 35, who findeth me findeth life and shall obtain the favor of the Lord. Right? Well, favor is where this little mini Bible study started. Look, if you will, in chapter 14, verse 35. It's hard to, you know, quantify these things. Mercy, truth, God's goodness. We'll see that in a second. But favor, you know, you can't take a cup of that and a tablespoon of that and a gallon of that. They're unquantifiable. They're not measurable. But the more of it you get, the more favor you get. In Proverbs, what did I say, 14, verse 35. The king's favor, this is the same lesson, is toward a wise servant. Now, I know that, you know, wouldn't you think that the Lord would write that down and apply the kingship to himself? So the king's favor is toward a wise servant. Sounds to me like he needs more wise servants. It sounds to me like he needs the servant that's somewhat wise to be wiser. Now, when the servant gets wiser, he gets more favor. You say, how much can I get? I don't know. It's immeasurable. I don't know how much I got. I got some. I don't know if what I got compares to what you got. And you don't know what you got compared to what he got. But you need all you can get. Right? Now, I'm trying to lead you around the horn here, but just look in Proverbs chapter 11. Just connecting things. I'm talking about with immeasurable things. Satisfied. He said, you find you're satisfied. Naphtali was satisfied with favor. 11:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. I'm sorry, I'm wrong one. 11:27, wrong chapter. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. Now, you know, listening to the way some Christians talk, doing good gets you nothing. And there's not a huge emphasis on doing right. You know, I mean, everybody's so busy trying to date and drink and smoke a little dope and have fun in their Christianity, seems to escape their attention that they should be doing good, you know, doing right. In verse 27, it says, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. So I wonder what you're seeking. Look in chapter 12, verse 2. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. I know that there's none good but God. I know that. But Lord still tries to build good men. Are you a good man? If you're a good man, it says you obtain favor from the Lord. You'll have favor that a wicked man won't have. Well, in that respect, I need all the favor I can get. How about you? Look in 22:1. I know this part got a little long. Really, we'll be done in a little while. Just hang in there. Proverbs 22. Verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. You're better off with the favor of God than all the money in the world. Now, let me take another tack here just a second, then we'll be moving on to one last thing. Look in Psalms 90. I ought to be satisfied with that which God is satisfied with. I ought to be satisfied with your future prospects. Nobody is going to be disappointed in heaven. You ought to be satisfied, and you will be satisfied, when partaking in humility. You should be satisfied with plain things, like bread. You know, satisfied, you'll be satisfied when you're spiritually hungry. And the likelihood that you'll be satisfied if you're not is pretty thin. And you should be satisfied with some immeasurable things. Here again is another thing real quickly. Verse 14 of chapter 90. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Again, the mercy of God is something that's kind of unquantifiable. I don't know how much you need. I don't even know how much I need. I'll just take all I can get. You know. But you ought to be begging for God to satisfy you with His mercy. If He is merciful to you, are you satisfied? Or does that kind of slough off your back like water off a duck's back? Look in Jeremiah 31 real quick. And then we'll move on to the last point, which has subpoints, just so you know. Jeremiah 31. See, the book is filled with stuff you can chase down for weeks. But Jeremiah 31, and notice what it says down in verse 14. Jeremiah 31 and verse 14. And I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness. It's a prophetic passage for Israel in the future. But haven't you received a great deal of the goodness of God? It says there that my people shall be satisfied with my goodness. Something that's kind of unquantifiable. It's kind of obscure. I mean, what the song says, God is good all the time. So if that's true, you're stinking rich and have no business complaining. Right? Just kind of brings a different perspective on this, right? Okay, last point, although there are subpoints. Proverbs 14. No, really, just a few more turns. Proverbs 14. All right, notice what it says down in verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. But then it says, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. So the backslider in heart is full of himself. He's a lover of his own self. But somewhat kind of akin to it, but how different is the fruit? And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Now just dig deeper here. Proverbs 12, verse 14. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, what he says. First of all, it's not what he gets, it's what he gives. It's not always about what he hears, it's about sometimes what he says. You know, there's a great value in having a message that we all carry around with us every day. It's really satisfying to be able to say something to somebody. And it says there that a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his own mouth. But I would have you see that that satisfaction comes from within, from what a man's doing from within. Look in chapter 18, verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Again, what he says. And it's not what he gets, but what he gives. With the increase of his lips shall he be filled. I'm talking about, I'll be satisfied with that which comes from within. You know, it's comes from what you are, if it's the right thing. Look in chapter 15, Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15. And again, verse 23. This time a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. It comes from within. Now God told him something to say, gave him something to say. But the joy still comes from within. It's his to have and hold and enjoy. Look in 14:10. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. You know, there ought to be a joyous part of each of us that has a relationship with God. I'm talking about a walking relationship. You're in the book, you have a prayer life, and a lot of things intrude. A lot of problems, you know, press in on you. But there ought to be a part where nothing from outside intermeddles with the joy. It comes from within. It's what God gave you. And as much trouble as you have, saved is still saved. And having the true hope of the satisfaction of the future is still yours. And nobody has any business intermeddling with it. And you should take caution to keep anything from being able to intermeddle with it. Look in Psalm 94. I'm just saying, a Christian has a treasure inside. You ought to be satisfied from within yourself. You don't necessarily always need somebody ministering to you and helping you through, and you're happy because you're with me. There ought to be some of this where you can be in a room alone and happy and joyous as can be because you know God and you have God's Word and God's light and God's Spirit. I'm not being charismatic-y about it. I'm just saying there ought to not be any intermeddling with your joy at a certain level. You still have pressures, I get that. But Psalms 94, Psalms 94, 19. In the multitude of my thoughts within me. I'm not the brightest light in the room, but I can flat sure think some thoughts. Boy, do I have a lot of thoughts that go through my mind every day. They're not all worth repeating either, by the way. They're not even all worth thinking. I have a hard time stopping them. They just blast through like a whole bunch of film reels. It's just all video like that. I can sure think some thoughts. But in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Where are those comforts? Within you. They don't come from outside. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts. The comforts, the promises of the Word of God. There are some things that should not be able to encroach on your joy. You should be satisfied at some level by the things you have from within. One last thing, Proverbs 19. Last verse, unless I can think of another. Proverbs 19. something within. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. And he that hath it shall abide satisfied. Imagine that. The fear of God producing satisfaction within. And yet the Bible says that's true. And so I'm glad God's satisfied with my acceptance of the blood of Jesus Christ as the offering for my sins. But I'm to be satisfied by these things that I've spoken of tonight. I'm supposed to labor for those things. And it's not like, I think, most people imagine satisfaction to be. Most Christians want to be blessed with material, temporal things and health, like everybody else in the world. Essentially, many times, Christians' vision is not any higher or more spiritual than the lost people around them. They just expect God to be the guy that's doling out the goods. And it just doesn't work that way. Satisfaction from the Lord comes from a different vein than the world presents, so you can be happy in it. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father,